Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Meaningful Conversations, a radio show powered by RD Solutions Marketing Firm. And I am your host, Erica Harrison. I first want to start off by saying welcome to Q4 and welcome to the month of October. I hope you all are doing well. 2020 has definitely came in and it has moved at a rapid rate, and I have been enjoying these sessions and these interviews that I have had thus far. So I just want to thank you all for taking the time out of your schedule to tune into tonight's broadcast. As you all know, these conversations are meant to uplift, empower, motivate, and encourage you to go from potential to purpose. For each show, we interview business professionals and their various industries to share their journey to success. Our mission is to empower world leaders and business professionals in the marketplace. Today, I have the opportunity to interview Todd Brackens as we discuss how resilience helps your journey to entrepreneurship. Make sure to like, comment, and share tonight's show. The chat box function is available for anyone to ask any questions or to make any comments, so make sure you make use of the chat box function. Todd Brackens is the founder and visionary of Heritage Leadership Consulting, LLC. She is a 3-times Amazon best-selling author. Her hard work has landed her to be featured in March 2019's edition of O Magazine, Leading Women in Business for the Pacific Northwest. In her business, she uses comedy as transparency to transform your business and life. Ms. Bracken's family firmly believes her expertise teaches you how to embrace soft skills to success through her signature 3 C's. The 3 C's for success business are charisma, connection, and character. Discover how to increase your bottom line through relationships. And I so love that last saying, that last quote. Again, her 3 C's for success in business are charisma, connection, and character. Discover how to increase your bottom line through relationships. So, guys, I'm so excited to have her on tonight. It looks like she is already on. So we're about to go ahead and get this show started. Again, if you have any questions during the interview, make sure that you put those questions in the chat box function. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and welcome Ms. Braxton to the show.
Hello, hello, hello. Fabulous evening. Hello. How are you today?
I am doing good. I hope you are.
I am. Eternally grateful and exceptionally blessed. I am ready to pour into your listeners about how to be resilient and keep this entrepreneurship journey alive and well and profitable.
Oh, this is so good. I'm so excited for tonight. And before we get started, I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to do this interview. I know you're a busy woman, a business owner, with a lot of other things that you have going on. So thank you so much for making time this evening.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So let's go ahead and talk about resilience. You know, when we did this interview before, you know, I asked, what's one word that would describe your life? And you said resilience. And when we think about resilience, I want you to give me your definition in your own words of what resilience means to you.
So according to Webster/Tajiri Brackens dictionary, my urban dictionary, my real life dictionary, life experiences dictionary, resilience takes on many forms for me. And the first, let me say, the reason why I say that is because depending on where I am, at what phase and stage in my life I'm at, resilience looks different.
Wow.
But the common denominator, regardless where I am, resilience looks like faith. Resilience looks like keeping my eyes on the prize.
Wow.
Resilience is standing on God's word and his promises to me.
Mm. Wow.
That's
that
what
is
resilience
so good.
Is for me.
Wow. Mm. I love what you just said. And I we could have went with the, you know, the definition, and we understand that's the person that's able to withstand difficult conditions. But I love how you broke it down and you put it into your own words. So tell us, you know, I have read off your credentials and the things that you have done. I know you have many more things that you do and have done, but tell us about your journey to entrepreneurship. Did you always desire to be an entrepreneur?
Well, as far as I can remember, yes, but I don't know if it really started off that way. So let's go back in time, as they say, back to the future. When I was in high school, one of my favorite shows to watch was Matlock, because I just knew I was going to be a lawyer. And my goal was to make $50,000 a year. Now, of course, now we know that right there ain't nothing. I know that's grammatically incorrect, but I'm just very transparent.
You're fine.
Transparent with the people. And, you know, that then in high school, that seemed like a lot of money. But now that I'm good and grown and got grown folk bills, $50,000 is really not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is what I'm going to do now. I had no idea that I wasn't looking at my own firm or anything. I just knew I wanted to be a lawyer. Because I've always liked putting pieces of the puzzle together to come up with a solution, or seeing what the results were and then backtracking that as to how did we get to these results. So that's always been the way that my brain operates. And with that's why an attorney was very appealing to me. Well, let's fast forward just a few years. Then I decided once I went to the Texas Southern University, yes, I'm very proud, very, very proud of where
yes.
I come from. I had decided that I wanted to do child psychology.
Wow.
Now, watch how all of these pieces of the puzzle come together. Because with psychology, obviously the definition is studying of the mind and behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the studying of the mind and behaviors that people do what they do, which goes back to results that I said as far as me wanting to be an attorney. Why did we get to this particular place? What was it about the person that drove them to this particular place, to that ultimate result, whatever that was?
Mm-hmm.
And then I had this thing with ego, super ego, all of it. I said, oh, no, this is not for the kid. Freud, you can go on your merry way. I'm going to go on my merry way. I'm going to do me. I'm going to do my own thing. And then I decided my next step was going to be an accountant, because my father was an
wow.
accountant. And I had this great dream of father-daughter accounting firm. Girl, I did one balance sheet, and I was off by one penny, and it took me 3 hours to figure out what that penny was. I say, this is for the birds. I ain't got that kind of time. It's
what?
Got to be something more to life than spending 3 hours trying to find one penny to make a balance sheet balance.
Right.
But here again, that's finding the stories, that's digging into, I mean, you know, research, finding out, okay, why is this not matching up here? Why does this piece of the puzzle not fit in?
Wow.
And then from there, I started stepping into what I now do and what I finally got my bachelor's in, which is business management.
Wow.
I
love how, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to cut you off. I'm sorry. It paused for a minute on my end, so you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So from there, I moved into business management. And it's like, okay, based off of the classes that I've already taken, I think this is going to be the best route for me. Now, in the process of me getting my degree, I will honestly say I was a career student. It took me 20 years. And the only reason why it took me 20 years is because I took a hiatus. Because as I was in college, you start seeing what life looks like on the other side, the independence, the freedom, and all of that stuff. I know I'm probably not the only one that has experienced that. So I decided I was going to quit school and go to work and make some more money. Because at the time I was doing nails. That was my side hustle. I was the lady that everybody came to the dorm room and got their nails done. And I was like, oh, hold up. Money, school, money, school, money, school. Oh, I think I like this money thing. Let me keep on with this, again, entrepreneurial spirit of being able to have my own schedule, being able to have that flexibility. And what at that time for me was some bit of financial stability. Here again, it wasn't a whole lot, but it was money that was coming in and I could do what it was that I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And then life started happening and I went back into the workforce. Well, going into the workforce, I realized even though I had the credentials, even though I had the knowledge, because I didn't have the alphabet behind my name, nobody really took me seriously as far as employers.
Wow.
So at that point, I was, you know, marginalized, underestimated. Now, forget the fact that I knew my job. I knew what I was doing. I'm training other folks, all of this other stuff, but you didn't want to give me no more money. Remember, I said money is what broke me away from school to begin with. Now, in my father's wisdom, of course, he told me when I first went to college, he said, you're going to make a decision in your life between the ages of 18 and 23-ish that's going to impact you for the rest of your life. Whether it be good or bad, it's going to impact you for the rest of your life. Well, my decision at that time was that I dropped out of school. And in dropping out of school, I kept bumping my head because I'm looking for this freedom. I'm looking for this financial stability, but I couldn't find it because, again, I didn't have the alphabet behind my name. So I had this bright idea that I was going to go back to school, fast forward 20 years later. So in going back to school, I completed 86 hours in a year and a half.
Wow.
86.
Say that one more time.
Hours, 86 collegiate hours in a year and a half.
Wow.
What changed for me was my mindset, and I had already bumped my head enough times, and I wasn't getting what I wanted trying to do this hustle thing outside of having the alphabet behind my name. So, you know, here again, because I didn't have a degree, I was limited in where I could go, what I could eat, what I could drive, where I could live, all of that other stuff. I was limited to what I call the box, and the box to me is the paycheck box. So when I went back, I said, okay, we got to do something different. So that's where the push for getting all of those hours done in that short amount of time came from, as well as I still got to eat. I still got to keep a roof over my head. I still got to pay insurance, all of these grown folk bills that I now had to incorporate in my life that I didn't have to incorporate when I first went to school.
Wow.
So I'm working full-time overnight and going to school during the day.
Wow.
So let's plug in. Wait, I'm not done
that
yet.
Was...
I'm not done yet. So that's where the resilience probably started because I knew what it was that I needed to do so that I could have better, so that I could have a better lifestyle, so I could go and do as I please and not have to pick up that phone and say, Daddy, Daddy. You know that little girl voice. When you need something from your mama or your dad, there's a certain way that you call their name, and they know money is attached to it.
Right.
Okay. So, you know how you call their name, and you know how your children call your name when they need some money. So I'm going to leave that right there. But after that, it was like, okay, I got this bachelor's degree. I did pretty good. Let me push the envelope a little bit further, and that's where I went and proceeded with my master's degree. And my master's is in strategic leadership because I found not only was I a servant leader, but God has gifted me with the anointing and the gift to be able to see things in a, if we can say, in a sixth sense, to where I can pull out of people their greatness and show them how to monetize their greatness.
Wow.
And from there, hence the strategic leadership. So if I know what the goal is, and here again, go back to when I first started, I wanted to be a lawyer because there was the end goal, there was a result that I had to figure out how to put the pieces of the puzzle together in order to get to those results. So here at this stage, being a master strategist, once I have a conversation with you and I know what it is that you want to do, what your ultimate goal is, I'm going to get you from point A to point B so that you can have what you want to have, so that you can be who you want to be, and so you can live how you want to live. It's an unconventional way as far as how I don't even know how to put the word into it, but the Holy Spirit tweets and drops to me all the time. It's a connection and relationship that I have with him. So when he tells me how to help you monetize the gift and the dream that he gave you, once we get those two together, and because God is the center of it all, Holy Spirit, come on, talk to me. Because God is the center of it all, it can't help but to win. It can't help but to prosper. It can't help but to go to the next level that's going to be for greater good and to impact other people around you. Because I firmly believe we are a blessing, and we have been created not only for such times as this, but we have been created so that we can help somebody else come forward. Hence what my signature program is, which is Talented 10th, and that comes from W.E.B. Du Bois. Each one, reach one. Let's go. I may be in a different industry than you, but some things are common regardless what industry that you're in. Case in point, people are going to do business with people that they know, like, and trust. It doesn't matter what you do. If I don't know you, if I don't like you, and if I don't trust you, I ain't spending no money with you.
Come on. Now, listen, I don't want you to give too much goods away right yet because we don't have some questions that I have to ask you. And I know you are on the roll, and I love it. I want to just touch on what you said. You said so many different things, but all of them were very helpful, and I hope that the listeners really were able to take in what you said. But I love how you brought it back to the beginning, because a lot of times we look at individuals that are successful, that are making moves in the marketplace or in their personal life or whatever the case may be, and we think that it just happened that way. But I love how you brought back that you was working in several different industries, several different jobs. You know, although you seen yourself as a lawyer, originally that's not what your ending result had, but each job that you worked at was able to give you some fundamentals in regards to you being where you are today. So I say that for the listeners that desire entrepreneurship and you want to be an entrepreneur, CEO, don't allow where you're currently at, if you're still at a 9-to-5 and working, for a corporation, get what you need to get while you're there, but don't stay there. And I love that you said that. I also love the fact that you talked about your journey in college and how, you know, you were there and, you know, you decided to take a hiatus, but certain things begin to transpire in your life and you shift it back. And I thought about when you said that we all, I don't even want to call it a mistake, but our journey might not mm-hmm. be similar to everybody else's. But what mm-hmm. I got out of that was you didn't allow that to stop you. Although you took a hiatus and you went back into the corporate world and different things of that nature, you know, you were doing your own thing at first and then you went back to the corporate world and you realized, listen, I can't allow this to stop me. I have to go back and finish what I started. So I'm so mm-hmm. grateful that you were just transparent in your journey.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know what, as you were recapping that, all I could hear was Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good. Not some, all. And all is inclusive of everything or everything, depending
yes,
on how you want
on,
to
nothing
that.
Is awesome.
It's inclusive of everything. So with that being said, I couldn't help but to reflect, and you know, when you spend that time and you have that relationship, I don't know what your higher being is, what somebody else's higher being, whoever's listening, I don't know what their higher being is, who they sit and have, you know, conversations with and get quiet and centralized with, or whoever, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're going through that spiritual journey, at some point, you're forced to look at yourself and see what it is. Okay, let's just call it what it is, accountability. You have to look mm-hmm. at what you did in order to create this, because everything ain't the devil doing it to you. Sometimes you're doing it
Come
to
on.
Yourself. So we got to quit telling that blatant lie, oh, well, the devil and the enemy is after me. No. Okay, here again, I'm shooting straight from the hip. No, fool, you made the mistake. You made that dumb decision. So now you have to live with the consequences of the decision that you made. But just because you're in a bad place after making that decision, as my mother always bred into me, she always fed into me and continued to speak over me and in me and through me, where these words of your situation does not determine who you are. And those are some words that I held on to when I was in those rough, tough, tight places and did not know how to get out of them. So it was like, that's where, again, the resilience, because I knew there was more. I knew there was something greater. I knew there was something better for me on the other side while I kept my eyes on the prize. Because where I am right now, that's not my do-all, be-all. I know that there's more, because my word tells me, because I am an heir of Abraham and because I am his child, I have access to everything on this earth.
I know.
And God created it all anyway. And because he created it, if I want it, I can have it. He will give me the desires of my heart as long as I acknowledge him first. But we're not about to go to church on here. We're talking about business. But then again, my business plan is God's covering. So
I know that's right. Listen, one thing I believe in, it's not the first time, and it definitely won't be the last. I'm a firm believer, amen, in Jesus Christ, and I'm not mm-hmm. afraid to say that on mm-hmm. this radio mm-hmm. show. So mm-hmm. I'm not, and I completely agree with you that although we're in the marketplace and we're business owner, it goes so much deeper. So then mm-hmm. that, I want to talk about your business, about Heritage Leadership Consulting. Over the years, leadership is something that people are really going into in the consulting industry. Tell me, mm-hmm. what did you see, what gap did you see in the marketplace that you said, you know what, I need to fill this gap?
So let me give you a little bit of history about it. First, I'm going to tell you what it is that I do, and then I'll tell you how it came about. So what I do is I help entrepreneurs and professional influencers understand diversity, equity, and inclusion through relationships and soft skills using childhood stories to increase profits.
Ooh. Mm-mm-mm. That was real good. That was a good, quick elevator pitch. Okay. And I know you hit 30 seconds. You did under 30 seconds.
Thank you. But that's what I do. And how did that come about? Again, I'm about relationships. Remember I said people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. Well, the only way you're going to be able to know somebody, like somebody, and trust somebody is to have a relationship with them. You've got to have some type of relationship with them. So to me, in the work fate, in the workplace, in corporate America, what that looks like is diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that's where the DE&I came from. Again, God has a way of depositing things and tweeting things along the way. He doesn't give me, and I'm sure probably doesn't give you or anybody else that's listening, the entire vision, because it can be too much and you become paralyzed and don't do anything. So he dropped that. Boom, mic drop. I'll go ahead and exit left. But it came about, and I never really looked at it as far as labeling it that way until I was one of my accounts that I used to work on as a corporate travel agent was Apple. And in having a conversation with one of the clients / travelers, and she was, you know, inquiring, here again, relationships, she was inquiring about me, and I told her what I wanted to do when I grow up. She said, oh, that's diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm like, okay, so that was deposited in me, but I didn't move on it. And then later on, things just start happening, and I start seeing how in one of my entrepreneurial journeys or industries, I did skincare almost 35 years. And it was an MLM, but even within that, seeing how some teams, some quote-unquote organizations were very successful versus those that were mediocre and operating in the place of mediocrity, and those that weren't, you know, moving the way that they wanted to. So, again, remember, I like to see the pieces of the puzzle and put them together. What are they doing that this person isn't doing? What is this leader doing that that leader is not doing? And as I began to evaluate that, I saw that it was relationships. And as FDR says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I'm going to put a pin in that right there to show you how accurate and powerful that statement is and how you can apply it to your own personal life. So let's say that you got a real good girlfriend and she calls you and she asks you, hey, I need a favor. I need help with blah, blah, whatever it is. Or will you go here with me? Hey, I got such and such tickets to go, whatever. Or I want to go do brunch. Let's go break bread. I haven't seen you in a while. You know, whatever it is, they're going to ask something of you. Based off of your relationship with them, that's going to determine whether or not you say yes or no.
Yeah.
So if your relationship is good, then you have no problems readjusting whatever it may be that you had going on so that you can accommodate them and be in that space with them, because it is a good space of somebody that you like, somebody that you know, and somebody that you trust.
And that's good.
Whereas if it's somebody on the other side, just like, oh, God, here comes that person again. Let me go the other direction. And we can see this in our workplace. Our managers or our leaders, our bosses, they ask you to do something, and you just don't want to do it. Or here they come again. Well, how they get this job? How they manage to stay here in this position, and they got all this nasty attitude? Come on now, let's just be transparent and honest about it. We've all been there. How you got this job, and how in the world are you keeping this job? more importantly, is what we think into ourselves. But we do what we got to do, and we do just enough to keep from getting fired because we got to maintain some money coming in so we can continue to live. That's another talk show another day. So in seeing that, the missing element in both scenarios as far as the teams that were very, very profitable and doing very well in the MLM, as well as in corporate America, the managers that had teams and departments that worked together well, that were very cohesive in how it is that they operated like a well-oiled machine, again, it's the relationships that we had with the people. And even in my journey, come on, Holy Spirit, talk to me. We teach best what we need most. And even though I had the technical skills and knew what needed to be done and how to get it done, how to execute it, the missing element was the relationships that I had with my team. And once I figured that out and switched and pivoted that, oh, my God, things began to happen not only for me, but also for them. Because remember, again, going back to what I said earlier, I'm able to breathe life into people and to help them tap into their gifts so that they can monetize them.
That is so good.
Fast forwarding, all of that was deposited in me once the young lady said, DE&I, diversity, equity, and inclusion. I didn't think twice about it. So here we go. Was it 2019, the whole George Floyd situation? And as I'm watching this on TV, I am seeing every nationality come together because right is right and wrong is wrong, and they saw the injustices that were done. It did not matter what you looked like, because the principle of right is right, wrong is wrong is what the common goal was and what they stood for. And then to see it blossom and bloom, not just here on these United, or better yet, as Maya Angelou says, not so yet United States of America, to see it go from here to across the water and see how they were protesting in solidarity to what we had going on here. Now, mind you, they may not have been able to speak a bit of English or a bit of whatever, you know, tongue is being spoken, you know, whatever regions or what have you, here in the States. But what you can see, you can't unsee what you saw as far as what was done to him.
Yeah.
So you've got the different languages. Come on, talk to me, Holy Spirit. And even the word tells us this, that they all came from different languages and began to praise God. Put that in the pipe and smoke it. Deal with that later on. But seeing all of the different nationalities and languages come together in solidarity because of what they were seeing on television and what was being done wrong, it was like, oh, my gosh. So here's, again, your diversity, because now I've got to understand your culture. I've got to understand your way of life.
Wow, this is good. I want to ask you a quick question. With diversity, equity, and inclusion, for those that don't know, I mean, we hear the words, but those that don't know the importance of this, because it's just now really, you know, getting a lot of, I would say, a lot of people are now talking about it more often than probably before. Tell us the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
So first, let me deal with that last piece that you said as far as people talking about it more. No, it's always been there. It's just we're able to see it more because of the technology that we have.
Gotcha.
As far as your cell phones, and it's being, you know, put on, you know, in a drop of a dime, you can have it on your Facebook feed. You can have it on a TikTok. It can be a Snapchat. It can be a LinkedIn. It can be a tweet or whatever, it can reach a wider range of people in a much shorter amount of time. It's always been here. It's always been something that we have had to deal with, but more people can see it more quickly. And with that being said, because it is so visible, now corporations, now companies are wanting to be corporately responsible. Corporate responsibility awareness has been heightened because, here again, it's their bottom line. If I'm not showing solidarity to you, then I'm missing out on a whole dynamic and demographic of people that can be helping my bottom line.
Oh,
and let's
wow.
face it, we live in a capitalist society. So people are looking at their bottom line. I don't care if they say they're really not, but they are, here again, because of the relationships. They want to be able to have that quote-unquote competitive advantage so that people can be tied closer to them.
Yeah.
So that's, here again, how Heritage Leadership, and I say HLC for short, how that came, how it grew. And in my journey, again, in corporate America, in seeing what it was that was missing, it's like, it was almost like that Betty Wright song, you got something here. You got something here. You need to tell the people about it. You know, and let them see what it is that they're missing. And within that, because we've all been to those lunch and learn, some type of corporate training, something where they're trying to embrace that, and it typically comes from our HR department, continuing education, or it's a part of your onboarding, whatever it is that that particular organization does or how they choose to train those principals. And it's more like a lecture of blah, 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 blah. You get all of that. Or that Charlie Brown will womp, 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 womp. You hear it, but you're not really paying attention to it.
Right. Yeah.
And unless you can execute the principles that you have learned, it does no good to have the knowledge.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out, you know, I didn't have to figure out. Holy Spirit just dropped in me. He said, put it in its simplest form so that people can understand them, they can digest them, and they can execute them. And that's where the childhood stories came from. Everybody knows childhood stories. So right now, what HLC is the childhood story that HLC is working with as far as to teach, train, whatever adjective or adverb you want to put there, we're using the Wiz. So what does that look like? You've got Dorothy, who is the quote-unquote manager. She is the leader. She is the visionary. Her ultimate goal is to get to the Wiz so that she can get back home. Well, as she's making this journey, she's meeting new people, i.e. the scarecrow, the lion, and the tin man. Each of them have something that they need of their own. So they're willing to trust the visionary because they know and they like her. They're willing to trust her to get them to the Wiz so that they can get what it is that they need. And along that journey, because you have the different personalities, you have the different pedigrees, you have the different backgrounds, they have got to work together as a team in order to get what it is that they want to have and to get what it is that they, you know, what they desire. So they work together so that everybody gets what they need and what they want without diminishing. You pull on those their strengths, not so much their weaknesses, but pulling on their strengths.
Yeah.
And because they concentrate on their strengths, they're able to get to where it is that they want to be.
Yeah.
And where somebody was weak, it was somebody else's strength. Look at your relationships, your you know, whether it be friendships or romantic relationships. I believe there is some validity in opposites attract. But where I fall short, you're going to be able to fill in that gap so I can concentrate on being great in the area that I know how to be great in. Because if I spend so much time in those things where I'm weak, I'm not going to be able to be successful. I'm not going to be able to be profitable. I'm not going to be able to be impactful because I'm dreading having to do the things that I don't want to do or I don't like to do, and hence that's my weakness. But if I know where my greatness is and where my power lies and I delegate to other people for those weak spots, I'm stronger. Mm. We are stronger as a unit and can get to our goals. We can get to the Wiz. We can get to the Emerald City. And then from the Emerald City, I, Dorothy, can go back home to my family. And I can, come on, Holy Spirit, I can deposit in them what I have learned as I was on my journey to make them stronger and to push them forward and propel.
Wow, that is so good, and I know that you get a lot of people that are drawn to it even more because of your creative expression and the way that you bring real life situations, but in a way where people are able to understand and receive it.
Mm-hmm.
That is powerful. So tell me, what are the next things that's coming up in your business? What's some upcoming projects or things that you're going to be launching as we approach 2023?
Oh, child, God is depositing all kinds of stuff in. It's like, hold on, God. Let's talk about this. You've given me a lot, but even in giving me a lot, it all, here again, works together. And as we say, too much, was it too much is given, much is expected?
Too much is required, yes.
So with that, because of the way that I strategize, the way that I think, he's given me the things that he has told me that he wants to do. And within that, I have a coaching program, which is amazing. Who's going through the program now, just in the first few sessions, things are beginning to shift for them in their own businesses. So that's one thing that I have as far as my coaching program. Also, authorship. God is working on me in two different ways. As a woman of God, he's deposited some things and books for me, as well as a leader and a servant leader and what leadership can look like. In my opinion, what leadership should look like based off of the biblical principles. So those are two different things. But let me tell you, what I'm most excited about as far as what's going on with me right now as it relates to the books, I'm not taking away from the coaching that is going, that's doing, and I'm just, it's blowing my mind. My coaching, you need to get into it. If you want a shift, if you want a pivot in your business so I can show you how to build those relationships again, to increase your profits. So that's one aspect of me. But the author side of me, OMG. So my latest collaboration is in a book called The Battle Behind My Smile.
Mm.
And in that, my chapter, and Holy Spirit just dropped this on me like at 4 o'clock in the morning, woke me up out of the middle of my sleep. I mean, wide awake. I'm in a dead sleep, comatose sleep. And he wakes me up and he says, bipolar faith.
Wow.
And I wrote my chapter in about 2.5 hours or so because of what he had deposited in me. So what is bipolar faith? You know your word. You know your foundation. But your reality ain't looking like what your word says.
Mm.
And I have a candid conversation with God and say, Lord, you told me this, because you can call him on his word, not questioning him. Call him on his word. This is what you said in your word, and you said that you are not a God that will lie.
Come on.
You told me you would give me the desires of my heart. You told me that you take care of the birds and the bees. They have food. They have homes. They're taken care of. I'm greater than they. So surely you're going to take care of me, your child.
Why?
I know what your word says, but I ain't feeling it. I know your word says that you'll never leave me or forsake me, but hello, Lord. Hello, remember me, your child, Tajiri? I got both my hands raised up. Hello, me down here. Me. Not that I don't care about everybody else, but, Lord, I need you right now.
Amen.
Remember me. And I have a candid conversation, or I share a candid conversation in my chapter of bipolar faith, and how I saw him in the midst of my triumphs, in the midst of my trials, and how I triumphed through that. And that came to me from, I believe it's James, where it talks about double-mindedness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a PhD in nothing other than my personal life. And putting it very simply put, bipolar, if you break that all the way down, is two. Double-mindedness is two. You think in one way and you also think in another way.
Yeah.
So I share very in depth with that as far as scratching the surface. But because that chapter has remained within the top five still talked about chapters and that collaboration, Holy Spirit tapped me on my left shoulder and he said, girlfriend, you need to get your book out about just this right here because it's affecting and empowering so many people through your transparency and your honesty and your candor about what it is that you're sharing. I need you to get this book out. So all of that to say, that is my next book project that I am working on, and I've got pre-orders going in for that, and I'm looking at that to launch between Thanksgiving and the first of the year.
Oh, wow. Well, that definitely sounds good. I'm definitely interested. How can we follow up with you? Let us know your website so those that are interested in connecting with you and your services and things that you're doing, where can they find you on social media?
So this visionary can be found on Facebook primarily, as well as IG. And my Facebook name is, you look for Diversity, Equity, and Diversity and Inclusion Specialist. Diversity and Inclusion Specialist. You'll see my picture. And the best thing to do from there is probably to send me, to DM me, to send me a message so that we can connect that way. As, in addition to, you can follow me. And you'll see my name, Tajiri W. Brackens, just to make sure that you're in the right place. That's my biggest platform where I am as far as Facebook. Again, I'm on IG with the same name. I'm also on LinkedIn with the same name. My website is www.heritageleadershipconsulting.com. Again, that's heritageleadershipconsulting.com. There you can send me messages as well and look at some of the things that are going on with HLC. You can follow me. You can stay in contact with me, stay in the know as to where Tajiri, Dorothy, and HLC are showing up and appearing. I'm also a part of a think tank panel. We're on tour with that, and oh my gosh, just a plug for that. If you find where I am on the think tank, you need to be in the house, because what we do at think tank is you tell us your business idea, and we help you to walk out of there minimally with 5 to 7 ways in which you can monetize it. And from there, wow, depending on what it is that you do, we may even be able to connect you, you know, with our network as far as somebody that can help you grow your business even more. It is absolutely phenomenal to see all of us entrepreneurs on that panel to give you what you need to,
yay,
be able to make your business grow and get to its next level. So that you can have your next level of living with your business and being impactful. So it's not about us. It's not about us. God takes care of us. But we are here to serve and to help you grow. And even with that, if you may be in the same industry as somebody else, one, look at that other person as far as a mentor. If they're doing what it is that you want to do, look at them as a mentor. But with even having them as a mentor, there's enough in this world to where you can be in the same industry as they are and none of your people cross paths, because there are that many people not only in the world, but everybody is going to connect with different people differently.
Yep, you're right.
So it's not that it's a overly saturated industry, whatever it is that you may be in, but that's where you have to dig deep. You have to do the accountability and figure out what your niche is within that industry, and that's what you hold on to and grow from there. That's what's going to draw your people to you and want to stay with you. They want to spend with you because they know, like, and trust you and want to continue to follow you.
That was so good. That was a good segue in how you said that, you know, don't allow being, I mean, every market, let's just be honest, I mean, every market is saturated. I really don't know any market that's not saturated. But like you said, people are not you. The way that you do what you do, people can't duplicate it. People can try. But there's so many other things that factor that people will be able to see. And we're not called to serve every single person here on earth, right? We're, the only thing we need is the people that we're called to make an impact. So I thank you so much, and I know our time is ending soon with 5 minutes kind of left. Yes, 5 minutes is left. This was such a good interview. But I wanted to just ask you, was there any, I know you gave so many gems today, but was there anything that you wanted to leave off ending the show by saying to our audience?
Wow. You know, for this wordsmith, I'm actually speechless at this particular moment, but I will give words of encouragement. With your resilience, as we talked about in the beginning, find your definition of resilience and hold on to that, Let that be what keeps you going. Let that be what keeps pushing you. Let that be what wakes you up in the middle of the night when you have this brilliant idea that's like, oh, I need to incorporate this, or I need to do this this particular way. Let that be, again, what you just hold on to move you and to manifest the vision and the dream that has been deposited in you. And I go back to being cliche-ish. Come on, talk to me, Holy Spirit. He will not give you the vision without the provision. So if you just hold on to that, it's going to all come together and everything has a purpose. So I would even say just sit back and watch how things unfold. And in your prayer life, whatever, you know, here again, however you do your prayers, I'll leave with this last bit of things. My mom shared with me there are three phases of prayer life. As a Christian, it is God bless me, God save me, and then God use me. When you're operating in the place of God use me, which is the final stage, the final place of that, then that's when you begin to see why everything happened the way that it did. You begin to understand your purpose. You begin to understand your power. You begin to understand your anointing. And when you unapologetically walk in that anointing and in that calling, you will never need for anything. You will never want for anything because it is what you have been designed for. We have been designed for such times as this. So when you operate in that, and those vibes and those energy are working together and they're not fighting each other, all I can say is watch how your life and your lifestyle and the lives that you impact will change. Just watch. That you can take to the bank.
Ooh, that was so powerful. Listen, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this whole episode again, this whole show. This was so good, and thank you so much just for pouring into us on tonight. I know that not only have I benefited from it, but I know definitely our listeners have as well.
I'm glad to be a part of it. And again, it's not about me. It's helping somebody else. It's being a part of that talented tent, bringing somebody along. It ain't about me.
I know that's right. Well, on the behalf of Meaningful Conversations, we would just like to, again, thank you so much for being a guest on our show tonight, and we look forward to hopefully having you again.
I look forward to it. You know how to reach me. I'm ready. All you got to do is call.
Yes, I know you are. I know you are. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great evening.
You as well. You as well.
Okay,
good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. Thank you all so much for taking the time to join another episode of Meaningful Conversations. Again, these episodes and these shows are really meant to uplift you. I look forward to seeing you all here next week as we get ready to talk about, can you all guess it? I guess what? Guess what we're going to do? We're going to leave it. But no, October 14th, make sure you tune in to Meaningful Conversations. We're going to be talking about becoming a safe haven for professional women with Danielle Hunter. See you all soon. Bye-bye.